that we are holding on Tzadik Zayin Amud Aleph, five lines from the bottom, in the middle of talking about Yemos HaMashiach, about Yemos HaMashiach themselves, and about the prelude to them, Ikhtasid HaMashiach, which is
our period.
Our period, yes. Period immediately before Mashiach comes, yes. Okay. Omer of Ketuna, Shis Alfa Shni Havu Alma, the world is destined to last 6,000 years, the world as we know it, V'chad Charuv, and then one millennium, one period of 1,000 years, when it'll be Charuv. The simple meaning of Charuv is destroyed, so let's first learn what the Gemara is saying, and then we'll talk about what it means. Shenema, the pasuk is V'nisgav Hashem Levade B'yemahu, it says Hashem will be exalted on that, will be exalted alone on that day. A day of Hashem is 1,000 years, Kielof Shana B'necha, P'yemesmo.
So what does that have to do with the...
So therefore, the point is, in other words, like the idea is that if the world is going to be destroyed, whatever that means, which we'll talk about in a second, it means like Hashem is alone, like there's no world out there.
But I know it's going to be destroyed.
Because that's the implication. In other words, if Hashem is alone, it means there's no world.
Who said Hashem is alone?
The Pasuk is saying, Niskam Hashem Levado, Hashem will be exalted alone by Yemahu, flying alone if there's nothing else.
Who said it's going to be up to 6,000 years?
Because we're saying that we have a Kabbalah that's going to be 6,000 years, but you have Rishonim, I think that Amam talks about Moran Avruchim, that maybe it doesn't mean the world being destroyed per se, it means there's going to be 1,000 years within that 1,000, within that 6,000, the last 1,000 are going to be a period of very severe persecution. How he understands that, how he gets that from Levado Vayemahu, I'm not sure, but that's his explanation of it. Anyway, Abaya on the Trechorov, Abaya says there are going to be 2,000 years when the world is destroyed. So in other words, you have 6,000 years, and then the 7th and 8th millennia are going to be when the world is Chorov. Shenema Yichayenu Miyemayim, as the Pasuk says, he'll keep us alive during those 2 days. Again, days, 2 days meaning 2,000 years. Hello? Vayem HaShlishi Yikimeinu V'nichya L'fonav, and on the 3rd day, meaning, I guess, during the 9th millennium, he'll raise us up and we'll live before him. Now, we learned earlier, actually, we learned that the tzaddikim are going to survive during that period also. We said that even during the period when the whole world was charuv, nevertheless, the tzaddikim will be fluttering above the water on their wings.
What does that mean? I ask
a question. Okay, so now let's learn the next line just to see the and then we may as well now. Fine. So what does it mean? What does it mean chad charuv and what does it mean trei charuv? So mostly we'll talk about, most of the Mefarshim and Chassidus, it mostly talks in general about what the idea of Charuv means. There are some of the Rishonim, I think the Rashba, for example, understands it in the simple sense that the world will be destroyed, the world will revert to Tohu Vavohu. So it means, though, the Tzaddik came alive at Chesed Meisim, as we learned before, on that Tzaddik Beis, they'll have a kiyum even during that period. There's no world, there's no gashmiyistika world, but they're going to be living, they're still going to be living and existing in their gashmiyistika bodies. Keep in mind, remember we learned before that Amma anyway holds that there's chiyas amazing, but after that eventually everybody dies, and then you have a world of only neshamas. So according to him, you don't have a difficulty with it. A world of only neshamas can be a completely ruchniyistika world. It doesn't have to be a gashmiyistika world. According to the Ramban and everybody else, that once people come alive again by Tzias Amesim, they're going
to
remain alive forever, then that's what the Gemara was saying.
For the Ebishter to have Ruchnias in the world.
Why not? The Ebishter created Ruchnias just as he created Gashmias. According to that straightforward opinion, and again, some of the Rishonim learn that what it means is that there'll be this 1 or 2,000 years when the world is destroyed, and afterwards it'll be recreated. There's a vast number of deists on it among the Rishonim about whether it means that it'll be recreated, and among the Kabbalim also, whether it means it'll be recreated as a new Gashmiyistika world, or whether it just means that it'll be recreated as a Ruchniyistika world. You have a concept that's brought in a few places, that's brought in a number of places in Siddur, based on Kisvei HaRizal. The Gemara is going to establish the idea that this idea of 6,000 years and then 1,000 years Charuv is similar to the way you have six years of work and then a year of Shemitah. So then it talks about, in Sifrei Kabbalah, about the idea that so you have one Shemitah after another, and eventually it amounts to thousands of Yovlos, so there's like a cyclical thing. So there's the idea. There are some people who explain that talking about recreations of a physical world. You have other explanations, and this is, I think, the generally accepted one in Chassidus, that it means that those are all spiritual recreations of the world. Returning to the
Chabad, the physical world will.
In other words, at least before we get to the explanation Chassidus of what Charuv means, on the face of it, what it means is that eventually our physical world will cease to exist. And then either there will be a new physical world, or there will be just Ruchnistika world after that. So now Siddhus comes and puts a whole new spin on it in a number of different Maimora Siddhus. You can find Maimorim on this from all the Rebbeim that talk about the idea that this Chad Chorov or Terei Chorov that Abaya mentioned means the world, the Gashmiistic world that we live in is going to be on a whole different level. Like this we have in general, we know that during the 6 days of the week versus Shabbos, the world was on a different level. The world was on one level during the 6 days, and then it rises up to a higher level. There's a maimer in particular from the Rebbe Maharash, Shir HaShirim Chof Zayin, that deals with this in some detail. That the idea is, on Shabbos, the worlds are on a higher level.
But one second.
But the fact is they still exist. The difference is, he says, the difference between the 6 days of the week and Shabbos now is that the pneumius of the world is on a higher level, but the chitzonius is still on the same level as before. Therefore, it can still receive the same hashpah from the Eibishter, and therefore continues to exist. La'asad Lava, he says, the chitzonius of the world is going to be on a higher level also. So then it can't receive the same kind of hashpah to remain a gashmiistic world as it is now. So it's going to be charuv, not in the sense that it's going to cease to exist, but in the sense that it's going to be a whole different kind, a whole different type of gashmiistic world. Gashmiist itself is going to be of a whole different nature. And that's what he goes on to explain before what we talked about, tzaddikim fluttering above the surface of the water, that water represents chokhmah ilah, and representing that the tzaddikim will be higher even than that.
Let me ask you a question. We're saying 6,000 years.
Yeah.
Is this for us or for the Eibishter? It would be 6 million years for us.
No. 6,000 years of our years. 6,000 years of our years. Because the Pashtas, that's what it is. We have no particular reason to think it means 6,000 of Hashem years. We're not saying like that. I don't think anybody says any such thing. If we're saying by Yoyim Hahu, if we're saying a Yoyim of Hashem is 1,000 of our years, well, then in that case, it means 6,000 of our years and 1,000 of our years. Otherwise, it wouldn't say by Yoyim Hahu, it would say by Elah Hahu, whatever. Okay. This Chad Charuv versus Tre Charuv, the Rebbe talks about in a Sicha for Parashas B'Kosai, that you have elsewhere in Machloikis, whether when it says in the Brachos over there in B'Kosai that wild animals will be the Hishbati, I'll remove them, does that mean that they'll still exist but they won't be harmful, or does it mean they'll cease to exist altogether? So the Rebbe talks about, according to the opinion Chad Charuv, according to the Ktina, that you have one period of charuv, it means because all you need is that period during which they'll exist but no longer be harmful. Whereas according to the other opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, I think it is, who says that they'll actually cease to exist, then you need two periods: one when they'll be harmless but still exist, and another one when they'll cease to exist altogether.
Seems like the way things are going, they won't exist altogether.
Yeah. All right, come on. All right. Okay, Tanya Kava says that Rav Ktina, we learn a braisa in accordance with Rav Ktina that there's only going to be 1,000 years of choruv. Kishem shashvius meshametes shana achas lezayin shanim. Just as you have a shmita when the land rests for one year out of every seven. Kacha olam meshamet elof shanim l'shivas alofim. So also the world has a shmita for 1,000 years out of every 7,000. The pasuk we just quoted that Hashem will be exalted alone on that day. And you also have Mizmer Shuli Yom HaShabbos, meaning Yom Shekulei Shabbos, that there's going to be a day, again meaning 1,000 years, that is completely Shabbos. And that's what it means, that it's going to be completely Shabbos in the sense that the world is not going to exist, so it's going to exist as a whole different kind of world. And you have, how do we know one day equals 1,000 years? Famous pasuk, Elof Shanim Beinecha Kiyem Esmo, 1,000 years in your eyes, Hashem, are like yesterday, Ki Yaber, that it passes. So we see that one day metaphorically represents 1,000 years.
We have another 200 and something years.
No. It doesn't mean that Mashiach can't come during that time, Chas v'Shalom. It means that after that period, after the 6,000 years, then you have the Schad Charuv or Trei Charuv. Then you have a completely different kind of world that exists now. That's on a completely different level, and it receives Hashpah from the Eibishter in a whole different way. Tanan Velio, we learn there's another way that we can divide up the 6,000 years of the world. Sheshes Alof and Shana Hava Alma, the world, as we know, it lasts for 6,000 years. Shnei Alof and Tohu, the first 2,000 years was nothingness, because this is from Briyas Olam until Abraham started, in this week's parasha, that's a nefesh, Asher also Bechoram, that he and Sarah started creating Gerim, started teaching people about the Eibishter and making them Gerim. That began in the year 2000. So those 2,000 years, therefore, were empty in the sense that nothing particularly useful was accomplished during that time. Shnei Alokim Torah, then you have 2,000 years of Torah, which counts from then, from this beginning, from a Nefesh Asher also Bacharon, until, so Rashi makes, it started with Avram. So Rashi makes the calculation that from then until the Churban Bayis Sheni was 1,828 years. So from then on, you need another 172 years till the end of the fourth millennium. So now Rashi says, what do you mean only 2,000 years of Torah? We have the Torah ever since then. We still continue to have the Torah now. So Rashi just says, okay, because we use the expression Shnei Alokim Torah, Tohu, we use parallel to the expression Shnei Alokim Torah. Doesn't mean we don't have the Torah after that. It means those 2,000 years during which the Torah was given.
So we have the Torah more than 2,000
years. That's the point that Rashi is saying, that we don't mean 2,000 years of Torah and then the Torah goes away after the year 4,000. It means you had 2,000 years of Torah, and corresponding to that, during the next 2,000 years is the period during which the Torah was given and explained and so forth. Marsha and a number of other Mephoshim talk about differently. There is actually a sense in which the Torah not went away, but weakened after the end of 4,000 years. The year 4,000 is not long after Rebbe finished the Mishnayot. The Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael started to scatter. The yeshivas over there were breaking down. At the end of the time of the Mishnah and the beginning of the time of the Gemara, Jewish people are getting more scattered all over the world. So in that sense, there was a great weakening of Torah at that time, around the year 4,000. And there's different other explanations. There's an idea that's brought, I think, from the Vilna Gaon, the idea that the secrets of Torah were primarily revealed during those 2,000 years. After that, they were hidden again, and therefore we have a much harder time understanding and accessing them.
And then why would the Ishtar hide the secrets?
Because
the
next period is supposed to be Yemos HaMashiach. Because the next period is supposed to be Yemos HaMashiach, when Torah Chadosha may be tasted. It's supposed to be a whole different level of learning Torah. Okay.
Why would the Ishtar hide the secrets of Torah at the same time, the very same time that he starts putting us in Gaulus? Wouldn't shit be the other way around?
It's a question. Right. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. We should work harder on it. I mean, eventually, of course, those secrets were revealed anyway. Mitzmutter, Mitzvah, Gaulus, Ruach Hochma, Mitzvah. Yes, okay. Okay.
But how long after the 2,000 years? Yes,
that was sometime, I mean, in various ways. It was being revealed after that. But for example, the fact that you have the Tanoim say something where they understood clearly what they meant, and then you come along to the Amoroim,
right,
and so often you have in the Gemara where they didn't understand, and they have to figure out what the Tanoim are saying. That would be an example of that kind of thing.
That would be the beginning
of the last 2,000 years, right? I'll tell you one other idea. I mean, we really have to move on, but I'll tell you an interesting idea that the Chazon Ish says on this, which I've mentioned occasionally here and there. He says the vote is, when we say 2,000 years of Torah, means the known realities and the knowledge that existed at that time is what determines halacha. For example, in Hilchos Trefes, the Rambam points out, you have various conditions that an animal might have where modern medical science will say it's curable, but halacha says it's trefa, and vice versa. No, the definition of trefa is that it's incurable and will die within 12 months. So why is that? He says, because during the 2,000 years of Torah, ending with the time of the Mishnah and the beginning of the Gemara, these things, as far as medical science knew at that time, are incurable. Later on, they figured out ways to cure them. Doesn't matter. Shnei Alokim Torah means that Torah is determined according to what was known in those 2,000 years.
Ad-kan.
Okay. Then we have Shnei Alokim Yemos HaMashiach. The next 2,000 years, from the year 4,000 years and on, is supposed to be the time when Mashiach comes. But, Uvav Nisenu, because of our Avedus, Shirabu, that are many, Yotu Mehem Mashiyotu. A certain number of those years have passed, and Mashiach hasn't come yet. There are different words for different types of avenues. There is a vort on this that Yotu Mehem Mashiyotu means, we know that the famous vort, the Gemara says, that Mashiach is going to come after Yichul Kol Neshamas from a Guf, when all the Neshamas from Guf, from the Oitzer of Neshamas have been used.
Right.
Well, Yotzu Mehem Mashiyotzu, what ends up happening is Neshamas have to come back again and again in Gilgulin, because they didn't accomplish the first time. So therefore, like, Neshamas are getting recycled, rather than new Neshamas being able to be brought down, and therefore Yotzu Mehem Mashiyotzu, like the ones who came out already, have to come out again, and therefore that's delaying things.
Oh, wow. So 1 second, how can they come out if the world is going to be destroyed?
What does that have to do with anything? That's after the year 6,000. We're not there yet.
But there's still
at that point, the Eibishter will arrange that Oitzer of Guf will be empty. Omalei Rav Yoel Rav Yehuda Achur Rav Salah Chassida, Eina Olam Pachas Mishmonim V'Chamisha Yod. Thus the world will exist without Mashiach, that is, for not less than 85 yovelos, which comes out to 4,250 years, which brings us to about the end of the time of the Gemara. Over yovel achron ben David ba. In that last yovel, ben David will come. Amale, so shmonim v'chamisha yovelos, 85 yovelos, which comes out to 4,250 years. So Amale, so Rav Yehuda asks him, v'tchilos ha'ev b'sofa, do you mean that he's going to come at the beginning of that 85th yovel, or in the last, or at the end of it? Amale, any idea? So Eliyahu says, that I don't know. He asks him, kola e'ena kola, is it going to end, or is it not going to end? Now, so it sounds like almost the same question. It sounds on the face of it like almost the same question. Is that yovel period, the 85th yovel, going to end? And then and Mashiach is going to come at the end of it or at the beginning, in which case it sounds like the same question. And again, Amalei Eini Yedea. So there's a couple of different explanations. First of all, there is a Girsa that he says to him that on the first one he says that on this Kola Eini Kola he gives him an answer, Taka Kola, and then the Gemara is going to clarify the next thing Ravashi is going to say what that means. Marsha talks about that there's a slightly different nuance. B'tchilasa the sofei mean, is it going to be at the beginning or the end of that yovel? He says, I don't know. Then kolay ena kolay, as he's asking, is this the beginning? Are you talking about this is the earliest that Mashiach can come? Or is this the latest that Mashiach can come? And he says, any idea? I don't know. It could be either one. It could be the beginning of the time, yeah. Ravashi Yoma, Hochi Yomale, Ravashi says that he did clarify. He says to him, ad hochole tistichele, up until that point, until that 85th yovel, don't be expecting Mashiach, not in the sense that Mashiach can't come. Mashiach can come any time, but we're going to talk about later about the famous thing of Be'ita versus Achishena. But we're talking about the Be'ita is not going to be before that time. Mikan Ve'elach, which is, again, beginning from the beginning, from that 85th year, which begins in the year 4201, which was a few years after Ravashi himself passed away. Mikan Ve'elach Istichele, from then on, you can expect him that the Be'ita can be at any time. The appointed time that the Eivishter has prearranged when Mashiach is going to come could be any time after that. Shalach, 4,250 is 85 years. So that's long gone. That's 7 years at this point. Starting from Bria Sarla, the Pashas. So by now, that's 1,500 years in the past. That's what we're saying. Yeah. Okay. Shalach le'rav chonen bar techlifa le'rav Yosef. Masasi adam echad, I met a certain person, he was holding in his hand a scroll, Ksuva Ashuris for Lashon Kodesh. It was written in Ksav Ashuri and it was written in Lashon Kodesh, which shows that it was obviously written by Jews.
Ksav Ashuris
and Lashon Kodesh. Yeah. Says, I asked him, Zuminayim Lach, where'd you get this scroll from? Amali, he tells me, L'chayolos shol Romini Scouti, I hired myself out to the Roman army, and I found it in the Roman treasury. So evidently they had taken it from Yerushalayim by the time of the Churban.
This was what, 100?
This is a scroll. The Kosovo, and what did it say in the scroll? After 4,291 years since the creation of the world, the world will end. Or there's a different, the Yad Ramah says a different explanation, not Yitim, but Yosim. Like the world will be like a Yosim without anybody to look after it. It'll seem like the whole world is lawless. Why 4,000? Well, it, in some sense, it did happen. All these kitzim that we're talking about, the ones that the Gemara is going to mention, the ones that various Rishonim calculated, we talked about yesterday. There is a certain truth to them. They're part of the Torah. Something happened
period.
At that time. It wasn't necessarily, it didn't, the complete, the, obviously, the Gula HaMitzvah Shalema didn't come yet. The beginning of the process started, but Bam Neseinu Yoptu Ma'atam Mashiyotu. It didn't happen over here, Lamatam Asar Tzvachim. So how do we get 4,291? So actually, the Hagoyes HaGroh changes it to 4,231 on the basis of Gemara in Avodah Zarah. And 4,231 comes out in the middle of that 85th yovel, which fits with what the Gemara was saying before. The 4,291, the Girsa that we have, the Maharal says the vote is the same way as the Jewish people were in the desert for 40 years, the same way after the 4,250, you're expected to have another 40 years. That's why the Braita uses the expression, uses the expression 4,291.
31 from 91 is...
No. 4,250 plus 40 brings you to 4,290.
Right.
So the next year is 4,291. Someplace I also saw a verb, somebody pointed out that 4,291 is 613 times 7. What the significance of that is, I'm not sure. Okay. Anyway. Mehen milchomis taninim. At that point, from then on, you're going to have periods during which you have wars among the taninim. Rashi says taninim means fish. Marsha says, so fish are fighting with each other. What does that mean? So he says it means various great powers are fighting with each other. Maharal talks about the idea of taninim. We find in a few places in Tanakh are particularly cruel creatures. So therefore, Muhammad Tanin represents cruel nations fighting with each other.
When is that?
Sometime after this period, after this 4291, I guess. Mehen Muhammad Gog and Magog, Ushayi Moshe Mashiach. Some of that period after that is going to be the wars of Gog and Magog. The rest of that time, after all that's over, is Moshe Mashiach. The Ena Kadosh Baruch Hu B'chadosh Eser Lamayt, the Eibishter will not recreate his world, El Alach HaShivas Alachim Shana, only after 7,000 years, like we said before, that you have the Chad Haru. Rav Acha Brei D'Rova, El Alach HaChameshas Alachim Shana Itma. Rav Acha Brei D'Rova says, not 7,000, but rather 5,000. Or there's a different explanation. Well, 5,000 is long gone. We're in 5,778. Yeah. There is a different explanation. The Ababonel wrote a couple of svarim on this whole concept on all these issues of Mashiach, explaining the Pesukim and Daniel or whatever. Remember, he lived at the time when the Jewish people were expelled from Spain, so he needed to be Mechazik people's Amunah in Mashiach. So he writes that what the Gemara means over here, what Rav Acha Brei D'Rova means, is that scroll that guy was quoting from, that it was written in Ashuras, etc., didn't say 4,291, it said 5,291. Which comes out to a couple of decades after the Ababonel himself passed away. Tanya, Rav Nosanimer, Mikra Zen Nokev V'Yerd Ad HaTohayim. The following pasuk that the Gemara is going to quote pierces down all the way to the depth. Meaning, Rashi says, that just like the depths, you can't figure out how deep they go, so also nobody can figure out what this pasuk means, what deadline it's giving for when Mashiach is going to come. The Adramat says a little differently. He says the vort is that this pasuk tells us that the Tehoim does have an end, just like the Golos does have an end. We just don't know when it is.
Let me ask you one second.
Namely, the pasuk says, there is yet a vision of what the time is going to be. The Yafeach Lekeit, the Eibishter will speak of the Ket, the Lo Yechaziv, and he won't be unfaithful. In other words, it won't not happen. Even if Mashiach is delayed in coming, even if it takes a long time, wait for him, because eventually he will come, he won't delay. When the time comes, he won't delay, he will come immediately. So that pasuk is telling us there is a deadline for Golos, and the Eibishter knows it, and the Eibishter is speaking it, we just don't know what it is.
So that's the question I want to ask. Why these big Amoraim and Tanaim, they try to figure the kids. When the Eibishter said, don't try to figure it.
Let's wait until further down on the Omer, and we'll talk about exactly that. We'll talk about when you get the Tipa Chatzim and Shomach Hashvei Kitz in another 10 lines or so, we'll discuss that. Okay. Meaning, Reb Nosson says, you should understand, this Pasuk is telling us, Loi Kerabe Seinu, you should know, therefore, that this Pasuk is telling us not to expect the Ketz that Rabbi Seinu darshin, Shohayu darshin an idon idonin plag idon, namely, they darshin on the basis of a Pasuk in Daniel that says until a period, two periods, and half a period. And Rashi makes a calculation, and various other Rishonim and Acharonim make other calculations based on that pasuk. Rashi says it means 1,400 years. So if you count that from,
he says that a
period, one period means the equivalent of the Golos in Mitzrayim, 400 years. Twice that is 800. So 4 plus 800 makes 1,200. A half an Idon would be another 200. So that would make 1,400 years. Counted from the first Korban, that would be about 100 years before Rashi lived. So therefore, Rav Nosson is saying that's not the Ketz you should be looking forward to. And again, various other Rishonim and Acharonim use this pasuk and calculate it in various other ways. But either way, the point is that those Kitzim are long gone. The Loi Kerab Simloi, also you should know the pasuk is telling us not to expect the Ketz, like Rav Simloi says, Shohayah Dodesh, that he darshin on the basis of pasuk and Tilim, Herchaltam Lecham Dima, you made the Jewish people drink their bread with tears, eat their bread with tears. The pasuk is complaining to the Eibishter about the Golos. Herchaltam Lecham Dima, you made them eat their bread with tears. Vatashkeme Vidmoris Sholish, and you made them drink tears of Sholish. So on the pasuk over there, until Rashi explains that shalish is a certain measure, like a container or a certain size. Over here, what it would mean is shalish would mean one third. Meaning, in other words, the calculation would be that you'd have Rashi says you'd have three times 400 of Golos Mitzrayim plus three times 70 connected Golos Bavel. So shalish, like each of the previous Golos of Mitzrayim and of Bavel. Altogether, the two of them together, 470 between the two of them, is one third of the total. So you'd come up with 1,410 years. And again, Rashi, there's a note in Rashi over here that says about Ogre Vlahoya had already passed and it didn't happen, but it seems that note is probably not from Rashi because 1410 years hadn't passed by Rashi's time. It must be it's from some later. It's from some later market, from some later copyist. Anyway. So not that. That's not the ket either. The loyker Rabbi Akiva. Also, you should know. Don't understand the ket like Rabbi Akiva. Shahi Dorish that he darshin on the basis of a pasuk. Oid ma'at, oid achas ma'ati. There's one little bit. Chagai is saying in Nevuah at the beginning of the second verse of Mikdash. He's saying there's going to be oid achas ma'ati. There's going to be one a little more. Meaning the Jewish people are going to have a little more covered in the time of the second verse of Mikdash. And then v'ani marish as hashemayim v'sa'aretz. And then I'll make tremble the heavens and the earth, then I'll make Mashiach, then I'll make that Mashiach will come.
So
Rabbi Akiva, the pasuk is a pasuk. Everybody agrees that the pasuk said that. But the point is that Rabbi Akiva understood that to mean that the galus after the second verse of Mikdash is going to be a very short one. And in fact, the Yad Ramah says maybe what it means is Rabbi Akiva may have darshan the word ma'at is matter 119, that the whole galus Edom will last a grand total of 119 years. But that's not what it means, because again, that's long since past. Ella, no, what does that pasuk mean? That pasuk about Oida Achas Ma'ati means that the Eibishter is saying, I will give the Jewish people a small amount of covered, short periods of covered during the second Beis Mikdash, short periods of independence, before, during and shortly after the second Beis Mikdash. But then after that, when Mashiach is going to come, it's still, we don't know. Namely, Ella Malchus Rishon Shivim Shana, so it means like this. The Ma'at is that the first kingship of the Hashmonaim lasted for 70 years. Now Rashi points out, 70. In other places, the Gemara points in Avodah Zarah, for example, we'll learn in a couple of months, Bez Hashem, that the Malchus of Hashmonaim actually lasted 103 years. But Rashi says their Iker covered and then glory that no other nation ruled over them lasted for only 70 years. After that, they became puppets of the Romans, whatever. So that was the first period. Malchus Shnia, the second kingship, namely of Hurdus and his successors, Chamishim Ushtaim, were lasted for 52 years. Malchus Ben Kuziva and the kingship of Ben Kuziva lasted Shtei Shana Mamechta, 2.5 years. So that's the Oid Achas Ma'ati that the Eibishter is saying, that there'll be a little bit of cover that the Jewish people will have. Not that this pasuk is not giving a time when Mashiach is going to come. So don't understand it the way Rabbi Akiva did. By the way, the Maharsha points out the expression in the pasuk "v'lo yichaziv" is also meant to hint it's not Ben Kuziva. "V'lo yichaziv" meloshim Kuziva, it's not going to be Ben Kuziva, unlike what Rabbi Akiva said. Okay, may be a feich laketz v'lo yichaziv. So, what does the pasuk mean when it continues that it says he speaks of the ketz, but he won't be disloyal? But the expression "yafeich" is unusual. Usually, it's "yoyimav," "yidaber," whatever. Yafeach, it literally means like to breathe out.
Right.
But what does it mean? Amr Shmuel Menachmeni, Amr Rabbi Yonasan, Kipach Atman Shemachashvei Kitzin. The ones who calculate Kitzin should be or will be disappointed. Wait, hold on. Shoyer Oymim, namely when people say, Kivin Shigiyat HaKetz V'Leba, once the Ketz arrives and Mashiach hasn't come, people who think, Shuvei Neba, that he's not coming anymore, don't think that way. Now, So the Rambam says, based on this, you shouldn't be calculating Kitzin, because the Gemara is saying over here, Tifach Asim Shamachash V'Kitzin. The fact of the matter is, again, we have the Gemara itself before, the Rav Sadia Gaon, the Rambam himself, Rashi, or many different Rishonim and Achronim, the Alter Rebbe, etc., calculated Kitzin, did calculate Kitzin, and published on it. The Alter Rebbe was Tofer Shchet. There's the famous thing where Likutei Torah was published that year, and at the end of the year, the Rebbe Maharash asked what happened, and the Samach Tzedek says, what do you want? Likutei Torah was published, and the Rebbe Maharash says, we need a Lamasa Ma'asara Tzvachim. Okay. So what is the vote with that? So there's a couple of different explanations. Rambam himself writes in Igeres Tema, and he brings this idea that you shouldn't be calculating Kitzin, but he says, to be militant, and many other Rishonim also say, to be Melamed Zchus on the ones who were, they felt the Jewish people in their time were so discouraged of the length of the Golos that they're just going to give up on Mashiach and on Yiddishkeit altogether, Chas V'Shalom. So therefore, the Chachamim of those times felt they have to give some kind of Ketz in order to encourage the people. But
they knew that.
No, the point is that ketz could have taka happened. It was taka a valid thing. It is valid up in Torah. And in some sense, something happened over there, as we were talking about briefly yesterday, but it obviously wasn't the Gula Mitzvah Shlem. There is also, though, the point is, they talk about, that the Gemara is saying over here that the main thing is you can't say kiven shi'igia faket v'leibosh shuveinid bo. To give a ket as to say Mashiach must come by this time, and if not, then he's not coming, that's also.
Right.
To say a ket, that there's a likely time when Mashiach is going to come, such as the year Tofresh Ket, or the year whatever, that's fine. And that's what the Gemara did earlier, and that's what the various Gedolei Yisrael did.
So let me ask you a question. All these people couldn't figure out the king, correct?
The actual, first of all, we're going to talk later in the Gemara. You have the Issa and you have the Shana. The actual ket, the actual time is known to the Eivishter. He told it to Yaakov, and we know that Yaakov wanted to tell it to his children, and the Eivishter hid it from him. It's also told to Daniel. Apparently he knew, but then it was hidden from him. The Eivishter also told it to Daniel through a malach in Sefer Daniel over there, that you have the various hints to it scattered in Sefer Daniel. But he told Daniel to write it in Sefer Daniel in a very cryptic way so nobody can figure it out. And that's it. Other than that, it hasn't been revealed to anybody.
So. The other one wasn't a pure Kiddush. The other Ketzim.
The other Ketzim were based on the Ruach HaKodesh that these people had. But that's not
Nevuah.
But not Nevuah, right. No. Okay, Ella, no, rather, Chake lo, you have to wait and expect and hope any moment that Mashiach can come. Shenema, that also continues. Imi Yisma Be'ah, even if it's delayed, Chake lo, wait for him. Shema Toima, so you might think, Onu Mechakin, Ruoyin Mechaka. Okay, we're waiting for Mashiach. Maybe the Eivishter is not waiting for it. Maybe the Eivishter doesn't want to bring Mashiach, Chas V'Shalom. No, Talmud Loimer, you have a pasuk that says, Lachen Yechake Hashem Lachananchem. Therefore, the Eivishter is waiting to be able to have Rachmanus on you. To be gracious to you, and therefore he's lifting himself up to be kind to you, to be merciful to you.
If we say here we have to wait for Mashiach, Akana Hasidah says we have to bring Mashiach.
We have to waiting doesn't just mean passively waiting. It means
waiting.
No, waiting means working to make it happen.
That's not what
wait. Yeah, that is. Mechakim doesn't just mean waiting. Doesn't just mean passively waiting. It means actively waiting. Okay, so if we're waiting for Mashiach and the Eivishter is waiting for Mashiach, what's the delay? Midas Hadin, Ma'akev. The Midas Hadin is delaying it because the Midas Hadin argues that we're not worthy of it. But if the Midas Hadin is arguing that Anu Lo Mechakim, so why are we waiting for it? Why are we expecting that Mashiach can come? The answer is Lekabel Schar. In order to receive this, we get a Schar itself, the waiting itself for Mashiach, we get a Schar for it. And by the way, one of the
mitzvah?
Yes, well, it's actually the Rebbe talks about someplace. It's not even considered one of the 613 mitzvahs because the fundamental thing that underlies all the mitzvahs, the whole idea of Torah and mitzvahs, is Nesava Kadosh Baruch Hu obviously the Dira B'Tachtonim. Mashiach is the ultimate fulfillment of the Dira B'Tachtonim. Therefore, automatically, you can't have Torah and mitzvahs without an underlying belief in Mashiach.
It's not like one of the numbers of the mitzvahs.
So you have the belt. People from the belt often ask, so what are you shturiming so much about Mashiach? The Eivishter will bring him in his good time. You're supposed to do mitzvah shaloyam manas v'kabel pras. The answer is Mashiach is not a pras. Mashiach is not some kind of reward. Mashiach is the purpose for which the Eivishter created the world in the first place. And without it, the Eivishter's purpose in the world is incomplete. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Ashrei kochoi cheloi. Happy are all those who wait for him. One of the explanations, by the way, is when we it's brought in many places in Sfarim, the idea that waiting and hoping and trying to bring Mashiach is not so much for ourselves so that we'll be free of our tzaris and all, but rather because the Shechina is in Golus, that we should feel the tzar of the Eivishter. So that's the point. We get a tzar for that kind of thing itself. When a person waits for and is looking forward and trying to bring Mashiach, so that in order to that the Eivishter doesn't have to be the tzar, that's what a person deserves tzar for. Okay, since we mentioned this pasuk, Ashrei kochoi cheloi, the fact that we are still in Golos, the Eivishter is the Tzar. We learned earlier in the Masechta that even when a Rosha suffers, even when a Rosha is executed by Beis Din, the Eivishter Kaviyachol says, I feel my head hurts, my arm hurts. Halach is kamav kamav, we said, when tzaddikim are suffering. And then halach is kamav kamav, when all Jewish people are suffering. Yeah. Okay, since we mentioned this pasuk, the Gemara digresses a minute to explain another drasha on this pasuk. Amar Abaya, like pochus alma mitzlosim v'shita tzaddiki, the world always has not less than 36 tzaddikim, the mekabli apesh shchina that welcome the face of the shchina, b'chol dore, in every generation. In Sukkah, actually, it's a different gear, so b'chol yoyma, that every day they greet the shchina. Shenema Asher Kochoche Loi, the same pasuk, happy are all of those who wait for him. Loi, Bijimatria Slossim Rashita, but the word Loi equals 36. It's a pasuk from Yeshaya.
So
Loi means the 36 tzaddikim. This is where we get the concept of the 36 hidden tzaddikim. And the Gemara is not saying they're hidden, but yeah, this is
their correlation.
What?
The 36 tzaddikim has any correlation with the timing of Mashiach in any way?
No, not specifically. That I know of, anyway.
Yeah,
and the Gemara is the pashtus. The Gemara is bringing it in because it's on the same pasuk. Asher kochol chiloi. The question is, Eini, you're telling me there are only 36? Va'amar Rava, but Rava said, Dora dekame kudshabrichu, the row of tzaddikim who sit like in the front row in front of the Eivishter, is tmane stray alpik parasavoy. That row is 18,000. So paras over here is in parenthesis, and different Rishonim have different girsois. Does it mean the Gemara in Sukkah doesn't have a word parasa? So does it mean there's 18,000 tzaddikim in the front row, or does it mean there's the row itself is 18,000 parasa long, which a parasa can fit several thousand people, so in that case you have a much larger number?
That's
the point is, you obviously, tzaddikim who are sitting in the front row are obviously very high-level tzaddikim. They're makabel tneshkin, they're pashtus. Shenema, as the pasuk says, the last pasuk of Yechezkel, Saviv Shmoina Otsa Olav, around 18,000. In context, it's talking about the city of Yerushalayim, Mosib Lavoi, but the Gemara Darshan said about the tzaddikim who are sitting directly surrounding the Eivishter. So that's much more than 36. The answer is Loikasha, Hodim is Stakli Bispaklari Hameira. The 36 that Abaye is talking about are the ones who are able to see a lakus clearly with a through a clear glass. Hodim is Stakli Bispaklari. Yeah, meaning in other words, they're able to see a lakus in a more direct way. Hodim is Stakli Bispaklari Shainamira, as opposed to the 18,000 or whatever, are the ones who are able to see a lakus, but on a much lower level. They're able to see it like through a dim glass. So maybe on a mirror, they're different from the Farshim talk about that. Ispaklavia Meira means a clear glass, and the other one is a non-clear one, or one means a glass, and the other one is a mirror. Or in the Bar Mitzvah, my mirror talks about that. Ispaklavia Meira means a magnifying glass, so an Ispaklavia Meira would be a regular glass, whatever. Okay. So now the question is the opposite. I mean, so you're telling me that there are so many tzaddikim on such a high level? You're saying 36 in every generation? But we find that Chizki said in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, who said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bayechoy, Ro'isi Bnei Aliyah, I've seen the Bnei Aliyah, the highest level tzaddikim, which the Altidaber talks about in Perek Yod of Tanya. The idea why we call them Bnei Aliyah is because they're the ones that Ishakka Hashaykh and Ahura, they're the ones who transform darkness into light and raise it up. And they're the ones who are doing their avodah purely l'shem gavoya, purely for the sake of the Eivishter, rather than for any other consideration. Anyway, v'hein mu'atin, and there's few of them. Im elafheim, if the total is that there's 1,000 of them, aniu nimehem, then I know that I and my son Rav Elazar are among them. Im meyahem, if there are 100, aniu nimehem, then I know that I and my son are two of them. Im shnayimhem, even if there are only two, aniu nimehem, then it's me and my son. Which means, in other words, Mepharshim say he was shown Minashamayim that he and his son are definitely among them. So therefore, even if it's only two, then we know that they're them.
Which is Rav Elazar, isn't it?
Rav Elazar, because Rav Elazar was with him in the cave over there, and they had tremendous Yiluyim, and they learned Torah over there in difficult situation over there for 13 years. So yeah. So the question is, you're telling me there are 36 tzaddikim that are makabel pnei shechina in every generation, and here it seems, according to this, that there may only be as few as two. The answer is Lekasha, Hod Da'ili Bar, Hod Da'ili Blood Bar. There's a difference between the tzaddikim who come in with bar and the ones who come in without bar. What is bar? Rashi says bar means reshus. You have among the tzaddikim that are able to see, of course, with the spaklari ameira, you have ones who need permission to come in. Those are the 36 that he's talking about. And then you have the ones who don't even need permission, like Rashbi and Rav Elazar. Yeah, they're knocking on the door versus just walking in without even knocking, kind of. There's a couple of other explanations. There's an explanation of Rabbeinu Hanano brings that bar means a son, like it usually does. So it means among the Bnei Aliyah that you should have, that their son is on the same level as them. That's a very rare thing. You have it by Rashbi and Rav Elazar, but other than that, it's not such a common thing. Okay, getting back to Mashiach, Amar Rav, Kolu Kola Kitzin, all the Kitzin have come and gone. The Eina Dover Tolu Ela B'Tshuva, the matter just depends on Tshuva. The Jewish people do Tshuva, then Mashiach will come. And that's that. The Jewish people have to do tshuva and ma'asim tovim, and that's it. That's what's needed for Mashiach to come. Ushmuel Amar, Shmuel says, no. Dayer la'ovel shiyamid be'evloi. It's enough that the ovel is remaining in his evil. Meaning, Rashi says the ovel over here means the Eivishter. The Eivishter is mourning the fact that that we're in Golos. It's not going to last forever. The Eibishter is not going to be mourning our Golos forever. Eventually, it's going to happen. Eventually, there must be a Ketz, apparently, even if the Jewish people don't do tshuva. Or Rashi says the second explanation is the Ovel over here means the Jewish people. The very fact that we have Tsar in Golos itself is reason enough for us to be taken out of Golos, even without tshuva.
Hold on.
This is what Rabbi Elazar is saying. This is Shmuel. Well, wait, let's learn the next couple of lines, and then we'll talk about it. Kitanoi, this is actually like a Machlokes Tanoim. This argument between Rab and Shmuel is similar to a Machlokes Tanoim. Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, Yisro Alois and Trova Nigolin, Vim Lava in Nigolin. Rabbi Eliezer says if the Jewish people do Trova, they'll be taken out of Golos, and if not, then Chas V'Shalom not. Amalei Rabbi Yeshua, Eimer, Yisro Trova in Nigolin. What do you mean if the Jewish people don't do Trova, they're not going to be taken out of Golos? And how is that possible? The Jewish people can't be in Golos indefinitely. Ella, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mamed Lahan Melech Shegzeroes of Koshis Gahaman, what will happen is the Eibishter will sort of force the issue. He'll bring upon them a king whose Gzeroes are as bad, as difficult as Haman. The Yisrael is in Tshuva, and at that point the Jewish people will do Tshuva, or Machzir on the Mutav, and that'll be returned to good. In other words, but if they don't do it willingly, it'll happen by force. The Eibishter will force the issue and then make it that they'll do Tshuva. Bechira is the Eibishter will force the issue so that the Jewish people themselves will use the Bechira to realize there's no choice. With that said, though, there is so according to the Girsa we have in front of us, it comes out that both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are agreeing they need to do tshuva. Just Rabbi Eliezer is saying they have to do it willingly, and Rabbi Yeshua is saying the Eibishter can force the issue. There is, on the side of it here, it brings the Girsa from the Yerushalmi, not Ella, but Amalei Rabbi Eliezer. Which means, in other words, it comes out, according to that Girsa, that Rabbi Eliezer is saying, not necessarily are they going to do tshuva willingly. I agree it may have to be the Eibishter may have to force the issue, but they do somehow have to do tshuva. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua is still sticking to the position that tshuva is not even necessary. That even without tshuva, there's going to be the test, and the Eibishter is going to bring Mashiach regardless. Marsha talks about, other Mephoshim talk about the question, according to the Girsa we have in front of us, is Rabbi Yeshua saying, ultimately, that it's enough if they do tshuva non-willingly, or is it even that even you have a melech kasha common, but nevertheless they still have to do tshuva willingly somehow?
Tshuva means
exactly what it sounds like. Tshuva.
That's
one aspect of it, yeah. The Rebbe once commented on this that the idea of Hakadosh Baruch Hu Mamid Lahan Melech Shegzeroes of Koshis Gahaman, it doesn't have to be the way we would understand it on face value. It can mean the Eibishter just demonstrates to the Jewish people that the Melech, namely the Melech Zaken Uksil, the Yetzirah, is Koshis Gahaman. He's as bad for you as Haman, and the Jewish people take that to heart and realize in that case, why are we bothering listening to our Yetzirah? We're just trying to destroy us, no less so than Haman was. And then automatically, Machzir on the Mutzir, and they go back to the right. We had a Melech that was Koshis, it's true. Yeah.
So then the Jewish people are doing
tshuva. Yeah? There has been a great deal of tshuva since then. Okay. So now, Tanya Idach, we learn in another braisa, a discussion back and forth on this point. Rabbi Eliezer Oimim Yisrael Eisen Tshuva Nigolin. Rabbi Eliezer says, only if the Jewish people will do tshuva will they be redeemed. Shenema, the pasuk says, Shuvu Bonim Shavim, return you wayward children, Erba Meshubesechem, I will heal your backsliding, your fault. So in other words, it has to be shuvu that you return, and only then erva. Amalai Rabbi Yeshua, like Vanema, but don't you have a different pasuk that says chinam nimkartem? You've been sold into galus for nothing. V'loy v'kesef tigeelu, and you won't be redeemed from galus with money. And money represents shuvu ma'isim tovim.
Money,
just like we said before, that money represents the tzaddikim. Kesef represents the tzaddikim, so therefore, over here, it can represent shuvu ma'isim tovim. So in other words, you're not going to need shuvu ma'isim tovim. You're going to be taken out of galus regardless. Or again, according to Marsha, that we're saying that the argument is that they need to do tshuva willingly or not. The point is there may be an unwilling tshuva is enough, even if they're not willing to. So chinam nimkartem avedes kachavim, you were sold into galus for nothing, meaning for avodah zarah, not for payment. In other words, v'loy bekesef tigeelu, loy betshuva ma'isim tovim. So you don't need tshuva ma'isim tovim. What about, though, you have a pasuk in Malachi that says, return to me and I'll return to you. So the Jewish people have to return first. Amalei Rabbi Yisroel Valik Vanemak, but you have another pasuk that says, Ki Anochi Ba'alti Bochem, I have dominated you, which means Ba'al Kochach, without even Tshuva. Ba'al means a master, but it means like I've dominated you, like forcibly, the Eibishter says, V'lokachti Eschem Echem Me'ir Shnayim Mishpacha, I'll bring you, I'll separate out the tzaddikim, one may be from a whole city, and two from a whole family, Ve'ibesi Eschem Tzion, and I'll bring you to Tzion. So we see, Ba'alti Bochem, the Eibishter will force the issue. Without tshuva, or according to Maharsha, with tshuva, but a forced tshuva. Amalei Rabbi Eliezer v'alik v'nem v'shuva v'nachas tivasheyon. You have another pasuk that says, with tshuva and with tranquility you will be saved. See, there needs to be tshuva. Amalei Rabbi Yisroel v'alik v'alik v'nem. But you have another pasuk that says, Koyam Hashem goyel Yisroel v'shay. So says Hashem, the one who redeems the Jewish people, and the holy one of the Jewish people, Livzoi nefesh, regarding the ones who are contemptible in their neshamas, meaning that they're contemptible because of all the averus they've done. Lemisoyev goy, to the nation that is disgusting, again with averus. Laeved moshlim, the ones who've been forced to serve kings, to serve foreign rulers. Eventually, Mashiach is going to come. Malachim yiru v'kamu. Kings will see them after Mashiach comes. V'kamu, and they'll get up in respect for them. Sodom v'yishtachbu, and princes will see them and bow down. So we see that even though they're b'zoi nefesh misoyev go, even though they're disgusting and soiled with avedus, nevertheless, Mashiach comes. It doesn't say anything about Tshuva. Even though they're still soiled and disgusting with Averus, nevertheless, the Gula comes. Okay, but don't you have another pasuk that says, if you return to me, says Hashem, then you'll return to me. In other words, you'll come back to Eretz Yisrael and the Gula will come. Yes, but you have a pasuk in Daniel that says, I heard, Daniel says, the man, meaning the Malach, who was dressed in linen garments, this is the Malach Gabriel, he was standing above the water of the river, that's where Daniel was standing and seeing the Sephora.
In Babel.
Persia, actually. He lifted up his right hand and his left hand to the heavens to make a shavuah. He swore by the life of the world, meaning by the Eibishter, that when it comes after a period, two periods and a half a period, which is the same thing we mentioned before in Aramaic, and when the strength of the Jewish people has been completely shattered, all of this will end. In other words, and again, it doesn't say any that Tzoras will end and Mashiach will come. So therefore, in other words, again, nothing about Tshuva. There is a set time for when Mashiach is going to come, Tshuva or not. V'shasek Rabbi Eliezer, and at that point, Rabbi Eliezer was quiet. He had no answer to that. So now, what happens over here? It's interesting. On the face of it, given that Rabbi Eliezer didn't say anything, and given that Rabbi Yeshua proves his point, on the face of it, it means he accepted Rabbi Yeshua's point. Besides which, in general, when we have a machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, the halacha is usually like Rabbi Yeshua. That should mean, therefore, that Mashiach is going to come with or without tshuva. With that said, though, that Amman paskins that Yisrael oisin tshuva miyad hein negalim. Famous thing that I've quoted innumerable times, which sounds like he's going like Rabbi Eliezer. So again, we had the different gersoyos before. Is it that Rabbi Yeshua agrees there needs to be tshuva? He just says it can be forced on the Jewish people by circumstances rather than willing, like Rabbi Eliezer says. Or it could be that the Rambam might understand that even though Rabbi Eliezer didn't answer over here, it doesn't mean he didn't answer because he gave in. He didn't answer because he knew it's still true. We find that brought in a few places in Chassidus that sometimes we find a Tana or an Amora didn't answer to a challenge against him, not because he didn't have an answer, but because he knew an answer in Chochmah, but he couldn't bring it down into words. So therefore, it might still be in this case that Rabbi Eliezer still maintained his position. There is an interesting thing that Eber brings some place in Asticha, that this machloikas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, reflects, among other things, the machloikas that they have about when is the Geula going to take place. We know there's the machloikas that Rabbi Eliezer says, B'tishrei asid in Ligol, and Rabbi Yeshua says, B'nissen asid in Ligol. Nissen, we know from many places, we know how things developed in Nissen versus how things developed in Tishrei. The point is that Nissen is Sarusa Delayla, is the Eberste bringing down on his own without us doing much to deserve it. Yitzias Mitzrayim, we didn't much deserve it, but the Eibishter does it all on his own, as opposed to Tishrei, the Avodah of Tishrei is Halal Milmata L'Mayla, is a sort of little factor that we take the initiative and the Eibishter responds to it. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua is following his shitta. The Eibishter will take the initiative, and therefore the Geula will come. Either way, Rabbi Eliezer is taking the view. There needs to be a Tishrei type of Geula. There needs to be. We need to take the initiative first and do Tshuva.
So,
since the halacha is Paskin now, so the when it comes now in that when the Geula is going to be, there's no specific Pesach. But as far as you have other machlokes in over there, for example, about when was the world created, in Tishrei or in Nissan. And you have the Rebbe Eliezer again holds it was created in Tishrei, and that's kind of what we follow. We say in Rosh Hashanah davening, Zayim Tzvilas Maaseha. In which case, that might be another reason to say that Rebbe Eliezer, that there needs to be Tshuva.
The Rebbe goes a point further, sure, because you say the same thing happening. It says Mitzrayim will happen
when after Tshuva. Nevertheless,
this sheet, they should go like Rabbi Yeshua.
No, well, one second. Again, it depends whether you learn Rabbi Yeshua as saying there doesn't need to be tshuva at all, or whether tshuva can be forced on them by circumstances. But besides that, you have two different ways of understanding what Rabbi Yeshua is saying. That's what we just said. But besides that, Mitzrayim has to do tshuva also.
This would be four months.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Onward. V'omer Rabbah. You have no clearer ket than the following pasuk. Shenemar, ba'atem hora Yisrael, you mountains of Yisrael, anpechem titnu, you will produce your branches, upiryachem tisu lami Yisrael v'gomer, and you'll produce fruit for the Jewish people. And the pasuk finishes off ki korov lavoi, because it's close to coming. So on the surface, what the Gemara is saying is when you see that Eretz Yisrael is becoming fruitful again, it shows that Mashiach is about to come because it shows that the Jewish people are returning to Eretz Yisrael. The Yad Ramah says that actually the focus is on the last words, on the words that they're not quoted in front of us in the Gemara, but they're there in the pasuk. Ki kroiv alavoi. The point is going back to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer is arguing it's not a question of kitzin, it's not a question of whether there's a ketz or not. It's a question of when the people do tshuva. So there's no specific time for that. Rabbi Yeshua is arguing there is a ketz. In that case, you see very clearly from the pasuk. If the pasuk is saying ki korev lava, it's close to coming, implying there has to be a certain deadline, there has to be a certain ketz that you can speak of that it's coming closer. In other words, that pasuk is another one that supports Rabbi Yeshua. Yeah.
And seems to be closer to us because this is what's going on right now.
This is also true. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Lazo Omer, Af Mizeh. Here's another pasuk that gives us a very clear ketz. The pasuk says, Ki lifne hayamim haheim, before those times of Mashiach coming, schar ha'adam lo'niyo schar ha'behema inena, schar for a person is not going to be, in other words, nobody's going to be able to hire themselves out, there's going to be a depression, schar ha'behema inena, and schar for hiring animals is not going to be. We said earlier in the sugya, Atchitichla Prutim in that case, that there's going to come a point when everybody is poor, according to the simple explanation anyway, before Mashiach comes, as part of Ikvasa D'Bashicha. So therefore, the point is nobody's going to be able to afford to hire people or animals. And for those who come in and go out, there's no peace from the enemy, from the trouble, from the ones who cause trouble, and that's when Mashiach is going to come.
And
so that's what we have to understand. One second. What does that mean, that those who come in and go out won't have any peace from the enemy? It means that even the Tamar Chachamim, Shalom, about whom the Pasuk says that Tamar Chachamim usually enjoy Shalom, Dichtiv Shalom Rav Oyevei Sarasecha, as it says, that great Shalom is for those who love your Torah, and they're called Yotzei Uba because they go in and come out in Torah, and when they as the Gemara says elsewhere, they come in and they fight with each other in Torah, and they seem like enemies, but afterwards they make peace. Even then, they're not going to have Shalom from the Tzar, which means from the Tzaris, Rashi says, or from the Yetzirah. The Torah Chaim says on this a vote. We know that just like when you look at a candle, when it's about to go out, and all of a sudden the flame like flickers up one last time, like gathering its last strength, and then it goes out. The same way, right before Mashiach comes, the Yetzirah makes that one final push. Therefore, he's getting even at the Tamar Chachamim the maximum amount because he knows he's going to be gone forever. Rabbi Yosef Engel, by the way, gives a different explanation of why the Tamar Chacham are called Yotzei Uba, based on a Gemara that says that a person is supposed to go they finish davening and directly go to learn Torah. So therefore, the Tamar Chacham are called Yotzei Uba. They leave Shul and come in directly into the Beis Medrash. Well, Shmuel, now Shmuel says the Yotzei Uba has a different meaning. Achiyu kol ha-sh'orim kol ha-shkulim. It means that all of the sh'orim will be equal. Now, sha'arim, most of the Mepharshim explain that sha'arim over here means prices. So Rashi gives two explanations within that. It means that the prices of everything will be that there'll be equal prices for grain and wine. In other words, there'll be a plentifulness. We learned before about the last period of the seven period before Mashiach comes, when you have there's one of them soiva gadol, that there's great satiety, there's great plentifulness. So then prices will be equal for all kinds of commodities because the prices will be low because there'll be a lot of them. That's Rashi's first explanation. The second one is the other way around. Everything will be very expensive. Prices will be high for everything. There's a different explanation, I think, from the Yad Ramah, that it means that the prices of everything will be the same everywhere. And actually, shkul and shkul will be all equal. And actually,
it can mean high, it
can mean equal everywhere. And actually, the Chofetz Chaim says an interesting thing in one of his Sforim about this and about the previous thing about Schar HaAdam and Schar HaBehema. He says, you see, in that case, that nowadays that we're coming close to that time of Mashiach. There's no Schar HaAdam and Schar HaBehema because so much work nowadays has been mechanized. People don't use that much physical labor or that much animal labor anymore. Most of everything is done by machines. And Kol HaShaAdam Kolam Shkulim, prices for many things are the same everywhere in the world because of globalization. You have commodities that are available everywhere in the world at more or less the same price. So in that sense, that's a good thing in that case. It shows that Mashiach is almost here. Yeah. Okay, but it's one of the simonim of Mashiach coming, and in that sense, it's a good thing. Yeah. In and of itself, it can be. So actually, one of the Mefarshim, I think it's the Yad Ramah, I think it's Ben Yoyada actually says, the vort is, kol sha'on kolon shkolim, means, in other words, the merchants are going to have a hard time of it. Like this, how does a person make a profit? You buy something in one place where it's commonly available, you resell it in another place where it's harder to get. Now, like this, you don't have that ability to anymore if everything is easily available everywhere.
It's good for the customers.
It's good for the customers, not so good for the merchants.
The machines do all the work. No, it's going to even out the prices all over the world. But I've chosen to be into that now.
Yeah. There is that now. Yeah. Marashah talks about, he says that sha'arim over here means the regular sense, it means gates. So like whatever gate you go in and out of, you're still going to have the same troubles as opposed to when Mashiach comes. Well, actually, there's going to be a particular inyan, the Pasuk mentioned in Yechezkel, when you come into one gate of the Beis Mikdash, you're expected to walk across the Azara and go out the other gate. Ben David, Mashiach, is not going to come until you're looking for a fish for a sick person, and you're not going to be able to find it. Shenema, Oz Ashkia Memehem, the Pasuk says in a Nevuah about the destruction of Mitzrayim, then I will make their waters settle, because like everybody's going to be, the simple meaning is everybody's going to be exiled from the country, so like there's nothing to disturb the flow of the water.
From which country?
Egypt. This is part of a Nevuah of Yechezkel about the destruction of Egypt by Nebuchadnezzar. That the people of Egypt are going to be taken into Golos, and therefore the water is going to be very calm because now there's nothing there to disturb it.
And that happened.
V'na'roisim kashem en oilich. I'll make their water flow like oil. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says that it'll be it'll be like oil instead of water. And you have a pasuk elsewhere that says, on that day I'll raise up the horn, the power of the Jewish people. Now, Basre means after it. Marsha points out the first pasuk, the Oz Ashkiyam Emeim, comes from Yechezkel Kapitel Lamed Beis. The second one comes from Kapitel Chof Tes, to be Prakim earlier. So what kind of Basre? So that's why it's in parenthesis over here. He says maybe the vote is because the first pasuk that we quoted is talking about during that time when Mitzrayim is going to be in Golos, and afterwards at the end of that time, the Beis Yisrael, Rashi says on the pasuk over there, that's when the Geula is going to start coming to the Jewish people with the building of the second Beis Mikdash. So in other words, there is a certain association between those psukim, even though they're three chapters apart. So the vort is, the vort is, so Marsha says, a couple of other Mepharshim also say, the idea that we're talking about, when we say Yisbakish Dog L'Chayla, it can mean, for example, in Mitzrayim or in one of these other places that's desolate, because, like we said, the water is going to be flowing and nobody's there, and then the water itself is going to be like oil, so therefore you're going to be looking for, a few years ago, I remember during the oil spill and in the Gulf, people were quoting this Gemara. There is an interesting explanation on that the Yonis and Ivashit says. He says the vort is like this. We know, we talked before about Gilgulim. We know that in general, it takes more energy to be mevarer the sparks of Kedusha out of meat than it does out of fish. In fact, the Alter Rebbe says that's the reason why on Friday night we have fish first and then meat, because we first work on the earlier, on the easier birurim, and then we work on the harder one. Yeah, but you still need the birurim of meat as well. But as the deeper reason why the Gemara says elsewhere, I'm ordered not to eat meat because he doesn't have the ability to do those birurim. But whatever, the point is that fish is easier to mimavir than meat. It's reflected in the physical thing that fish is easier to digest than meat. Anyway, so the point is, Rabbi Yonasan says that when you're looking for a dog l'chayla, means a dog therefore represents like the tzaddikim of our generations, who you don't need the neshamas that needed major birurim are not needed in our world anymore. All you need is the neshamas that need like the last few birurim, like fish. So therefore you're going to be looking for tzaddikim who are like fish in that sense, where only a little bit of avodas birurim is left, and you're not even going to find such tzaddikim.
For meat, you need
a lot of birurim to be mevaris. Yeah. Omer of Chama Bachanina. In Ben David Bach, Ticha Malchus HaZala Yisrael. Ben David will not come until the Zala kingdom is removed from the Jewish people. So what is the Rashi says it means Malchus HaZala means like the minor kingship. Meaning Rashi says that though the Jewish people won't have any kind of domination, any kind of government at all, basically. Any kind of government at all. After the Sultanus Kalabadala, Rashi says, even the smallest amount of leadership or rulership. Over other nations, I guess, yeah, or maybe within themselves as well. I don't know. Over themselves or maybe over other nations, I don't know. Marsha says the other way around. Actually, it's the Malchus Azala means the Roman government. The Gemara mentions in a few places in Avodah Zarah, for example, that the Roman Empire is considered hine bozu yata bagoyim, you know, like a contemptible thing among the nations. Like they didn't even have a culture of their own; they borrowed all their culture from the surrounding nations. So in that sense, then Ad Shetichla Malchus Azala Yisrael means only when the Malchus Azala is the Romans are removed from ruling over the Jewish people. And by the way, I mean, the Roman Empire is long gone. We still have their culture. They're still very powerful. You still have the Pope sitting over there in Rome, where, unfortunately, Jews have a little too much derech eretz for what he says. In that sense, we still have that Malchus Hazala there that needs to be gotten rid of. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, V'choref hazalzalim b'mazmeres. As the Pasuk says, the zalzalim will be cut off with pruning shears. And Marshall also points out, by the way, mazmeres is related to the mizar. Like in Tillin. How do we remove the Malchus Azala with the source of saying Tillin? Uchtiv Basre, and the next topic says, Ba'esahi, at that time, once the Zalzalim are gone, Yuval Shaila Hashem Tzvokas, that we brought to the present to the Eveshter, Am Mushach HaMamorah, the people, the Jewish people, who all this time have been pulled around and yanked around. Mamushach means pulled around, or Morah, and had their hair pulled, and had their possessions pulled away, and whatever. So we see that after the Zalzalim are gone, then Mashiach is going to come.
Plundered,
yeah. The Mashiach is only going to come when the Gasi HaRuach, the Bale Gaiva, are removed from are cleared away from the Jewish people. As the Pasuk says, then I will remove from your midst the ones who are happy and proud, the ones who are happy in their pride. And the next passage says, I'll leave among you Jewish people a nation that's poor and humble, and they'll take refuge in the name of Hashem. In other words, the Geula will come, and then we'll be protected directly by the Eveshter. And the idea is, one idea is, we know that a Baal Gaiva is Eina Niva Hu Yecholim Lodur. The Eveshter says, and he can't live in the same world. So as long as there are the Gasi Aruach, and the Shekhinah can't rest in the world, which is what Yomai Samashiach is. Amar Rabbi Simloi, Meshum Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, Ein Ben David Ba'ab Sheyichlo Kol Shoftim V'Shoitrim Yisrael. Ben David will come when all the Shoftim and Shoitrim are gone from the Jewish people. On the surface, the Gemara means, and some of the Mechoshim explain it this way, it means B'chlal, even the honest ones, the good ones. But it was like we said before, when all of the leadership is gone from the Jewish people. At that point, then Mashiach has to come, because like there's nothing left. Marsha says, though, it means on the basis of the Gemara and Shabbos, that says somewhat similarly, that it means Dafka, the bad ones. They're the ones who are preventing the Geula from coming, so once they're gone and all the remaining judges are the honest ones, then we're good. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, V'al Shiva Yodi Alayich, the Eveshter says, I'll... You have different opinions among the Mephoshim.
No prevailing?
Prevailing. I mean, it's you have different. It's not a question of prevailing. Different Mechorshim. Learning these Gemaras different ways. Shenema v'ashiva yodi alayich. The Eveshter says, I'll bring my hand over you. The etzrif kabursi gaiach v'gomer. I'll refine out like you do with soap. The sigaiach, your dross, your trash. Rashi says that the sigaiach means the ones that the bali gaiva. maybe because Sigayach is the same letter as Gasayach. Anyway, so I'll refine them out, and then the pasuk continues, I'll return your judges as they were, meaning that the Sanhedrin will be reestablished and Mashiach will come. Amahola, and Yerushalayim nifkes ela b'tzedakah. In this connection, Yerushalayim will be redeemed only through tzedakah. Shenema tziyem v'shvetipadah v'shaveh b'tzedakah. The Rambam, by the way, brings this not Yerushalayim, but Yisrael. And Yisrael only golem ela b'tzedakah, which is a well known expression that the Rebbe brought any number of times.
Is Yerushalayim today considered?
Is it considered redeemed?
Redeemed.
You tell me how much of it is still in Goyish hands and the Beis Mikdash is still in ruins.
No, but sure, but
the rest of Yerushalayim,
some parts
of it are. Parts of it are. And you know what? The fact of the matter is, we do say in various places in Davening, we still talk about Yerushalayim being destroyed. We say in Ne'ilah, for example, in Nachem and Tisha B'Av, we mention that Yerushalayim. We mention Ha'ir Avela, Amzuya, Vachareva. Yerushalayim is still in mourning and disgrace and destroyed. As long as it's in Goyish hands, that it's not niftate, it hasn't been redeemed yet. Amar Rapapa, Ibatli Yehiri, if the proud people among the Jewish people are Batl, Batli Amgushi, then the Gati Ruach, if they're gone, then the Amgushi will also be Nisbatl. Amgushi, Rashi says, means Persian magicians who cause trouble to the Jewish people. We find in a number of places in Shas. Rashi brings from a Gemara and Shabbos that Amgushi, some say it means magicians, and some say it means Goyim, who mock the Eivishter and mock the Jewish people. So if you get rid of the Yehirim, then we'll be rid of that trouble. He batli Dayoni, and if you get rid of the Dayonim, again meaning the corrupt ones, batli Gzirafti. Then the Gzirafti, which means Rashi says, Goyish judges who beat Jews with sticks, or other Mepharshim say policemen, will be gone. We know this, that there's a connection as follows. Because the pasuk says, again, the pasuk says, I'll clean up as if with soap, like you do with soap, your sigayich. And here, sigayich, Rashi explains, is related to the word sagi, which means the lot. Therefore, it means the bale gaya, the people who think highly of themselves. So if those are gone, then I'll remove all the bedilayich, all the ones, the amgushi, who try to divide you from the Eivishter. And the Ibati Dayoni, Bati Gzirafti, and if the Dayonim, the corrupt Dayonim, are gone, then the Gzirafti will be gone. Because you have another passage that says, Heiser Hashem Mishpatayich, the Eivishter has removed your judgments, meaning the corrupt judges, Pina Oivayich, and therefore your enemies, the Gzirafti, these hostile Goyish judges, will also be gone. If you see a generation that is getting less and less, the pastors, it means that the tzaddikim are getting less and less, it may also mean the number of people, it may also mean that their wealth is getting whatever. At that point, you should be expecting that Mashiach is going to come any moment. As the pasuk says, a poor nation, you'll save. If you see a generation where many tzaddis are coming on it like a river, like one after another, nonstop, chakela is also a time to be waiting for Mashiach. Shenema, ki yovei kanahar tzar, as the pasuk says, the troubles are coming like a river. Ruach Hashem noisisa boy, the spirit of Hashem is noisisa in him. Rashi says noisisa comes from a word that means like worms chewing through something. So like the Ruach Hashem is chewing and then seemingly going to destroy the Jewish people. The Samach Lein, the next passage continues, of all the Tzion Goyel, that the Goyel will come to Tzion.
The Ruach Hashem,
Noises Abay, is
destroying the Jewish people.
So that's Rashi, look in the Rashi, second line on the second column. Ruach HaMokim Nekeves Machrevenes, the spirit of the Eivishter is piercing hold and destroying them, in Matzores Abay, with the Tzores that are coming, She'afu Misgaven Lashmidim, the Eivishter makes it appear as if he's intending to destroy them. And then at that point, of all the Tzion Goyel.
So he's doing that to confuse the Goyim?
It may be also in order that, again, there has to be like a complete breakdown before Mashiach comes. Like you have a seed rotting in the ground before.
But why is the Eivishter himself trying to undermine, you know, the Jewish people?
So some of it might be some of it might be to confuse the Goyim. Some of it might also be to test the Jewish people. There's a famous verse that somebody says, I don't remember where it's from, that says, you know, the story of Eliyahu Baharakamo with the fire coming down on the side of Eliyahu with Mizeach. There's somebody brings an idea that right before Mashiach comes, there's going to be something similar, but then the fire is going to come down on the Baal side. And we're going to see who still retains the Ramona. So maybe this is related to that. I don't know. I don't remember, actually. Vamar Rabbi Yechanan, Ein Ben David Ba, this is a famous thing, Ein Ben David Ba Ela B'Dosh Kulei Zakai Ay Kulei Chaya. Mashiach is going to come only in a generation that's Kulei Zakai, that's completely righteous, Ay Kulei Chaya, or completely guilty. B'Dosh Kulei Zakai, Jichti V'Amech Kulam Tzadikim Lo Elam Yeshuaret. When the people are all Tzadikim, then they'll inherit the land.
So that's a big
one second. How can it come in a generation that's all guilty? That a previous pasuk, or a couple of psukim before that one, says the Eidosh sees that there's no man, and nobody's acting like the way they should. And he's like astonished that there's nobody to daven for the people. And the pasuk continues, Lamani Esed. Eidosh says, fine, I'll do it for my own sake. I'll bring the gola for my own sake because the Jewish people don't deserve it. So what is this kulei zakai, kulei chayav? There's a lot of different. We could sit here another 2 hours discussing just this. But briefly,
wow.
Yeah. But briefly, there are a couple of possibilities. First of all, the Rebbe once talked about in a sicha. The idea is kulei zakai, obviously. Kulei chayav is because once that happens, a yid first has a chelik elikami ma'al mamash. A yid has a pindul yid. So if it's kulei chayav, that itself is going to force that the people are going to realize they have to do tshuva, and therefore the gula is going to come.
It's about the same machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yeshua.
It's similar, but again, according to the Rebbe's explanation of it, it comes out that the kulei chayav itself brings about the tshuva, and therefore miyad hein negol. We have a lot of other explanations. Yeah, there are some of the mafarshim who relate it to that machlokes. There's also the idea, like, because it's kulei chayav, therefore it's like it's, you know, this is the last chance. If the Eidosh doesn't take us out, then that's it. We're gonna be goners, chas v'shalom, just like in the Mitzrayim being at the 49th level of tshuva.
We need to do tshuva for it. To
redeem us. But if you say that you don't, then it can be kulei chayav, and that kind of forces the issue. They just have to bring the gola at that point because there's no choice. They talk about the note of Yehuda brings an idea that kulei zakai, kulei chayav means you're not going to have, the good is going to be completely good. The evil is going to be completely evil. You're not going to have like you have in previous times when you have like you have people who on the outside look good and on the inside are bad, or people who are good in one thing and bad in another or ideologies or whatever that have their good points and have their bad points. No, it'll be very clear where it'll become very clear what's the good and what's the bad. We'll stop over here, but I'll tell you there's a verse that Rabbi Yitzchak Radichever once said on it. He says to the Eibishter, if you're waiting for it to be kulei zakai, kulei chayav, it's never going to happen. Kulei zakai, it's not going to happen. I personally know some Rishonim who are never going to do tshuva no matter what. Kulei chayav is not going to happen because there's going to be people like me who are going to be moisa nefesh even if we get cut to pieces. So you got no choice but to bring the gola without waiting for either of those alternatives.
So in other words, you think I could be sure.
I guess so.